Episode 9, Year of Rogue Dragons. Welcome back to The Tome. This is episode 9. I, as always, am Jeff Greiner, and this time around, I'm going to look at the Year of Rogue Dragons, which is a bit of a change from what might have been expected. It'll probably be a short little show, but I never know until I'm done recording and editing. But somebody did ask me in the past if I would take some time to review some of the novels that are coming out set in the various D&D worlds that I'm reading. Well, I just finished reading The Year of Rogue Dragons a couple weeks ago, and I've taken some notes, and so I thought, what the heck, I'll put together a short little show, and we'll discuss The Year of Rogue Dragons trilogy. Because I'm doing a short show, I probably won't spend any time this time around looking at feedback from listeners. Although I do have some emails to look at, I do have some comments from the website to look at, and that I am going to discuss. It's coming up. I am just about ready to also record the episode on the latest Dragon magazine, so that'll be coming out soon, and I'll probably put that into there. But just to make this a short, fun little look at Year of Rogue Dragons, we'll probably just stick to that for now. So, Year of Rogue Dragons. First of all, it's three books. The Rage, The Right, and The Ruin. All by Richard Lee Byers. And all the covers by Matt Slowicki. If I'm pronouncing that right. Since I brought it up, and before I get into the real meat of the book, covers. The covers are pretty cool. The artwork is beyond anything I would ever dream of being capable of, but I'm not an artist. But honestly, I was a little disappointed in them. I wanted to see some of the main characters actually show up on the covers. It's about dragons. The story is about dragons and what's going on with dragons. And so the cover has a lot of brilliant painting scenes of dragons attacking people and what have you. But the main characters in this story seem like they would be really visually unique characters. And sometimes they're a little bit tough to picture. So I was kind of hoping that the cover art would help me out a little bit with this by including images of the main characters on the covers. But more on those visually interesting main characters later on. The basics of this story is that there's a new rage that is causing dragons to become mindless killing machines, which apparently tends to happen every several hundred, maybe thousand years in Faerun when this thing called the Kingslayer Star appears. They go on and explain that in ancient times, Toril was ruled by various dragon kings, and they all had their own little kingdoms and were relatively petty. And then some elven servants rebelled and created this thing, the Rage, that caused dragons to basically destroy their own kingdoms, destroy their own realms. Now, however, there's a new rage. There's some indication that, left unchecked, this rage will not fade with time, like all the others had. It turns out that this plot is being created by Samaster, the lich who's responsible for the creation of the Cult of the Dragon, who wants to turn dragons into undead dracoliches. And he wants those undead dracoliches to rule the world, because he believes that's some great prophecy, and he's just nutty that way. I really kind of like some of the history that explains Samaster, and honestly, I want to read all about him becoming who he is as a result of having read this book. Or if there's some information out there, or some novels out there already that goes into the depth and detail and history of Samaster, and somebody knows about that, please, please let me know. I also liked how Samaster saw himself as sort of a failure, despite his massive power, despite being this clearly epic wizard and lich, former chosen of Mistra, and all that. He still sees himself as a failure. Because, of course, his cult and his schemes and his plots in the past have failed time and time and time again due to adventurers or the Chosen of Mistra or whoever getting involved. Whether these are happening as adventures officially or homemade little adventures by gamers like us, there seems to be a bit of a nod, a little bit of a wink to those of us who game, that, yeah, the Cult of the Dragon, Samaster, have sort of been the kicking post of the Forgotten Realms for a while, and they tend to always have these wicked little schemes, and they always get foiled. And Samaster seems to sort of recognize this, and he sees himself as sort of this massive failure. It's a nice nod to that fact. It's a nice nod to the fact that the Cult of the Dragon is a commonly failed villain in the Forgotten Realm. A lot of what I've given you, though, is not information that you're going to get when you first dive into these books. So let me tell you a little bit about the main characters. Let's start with the Dragon Hunters. First is a guy named Dorne, who is a half-golem man who was chomped in half as a child by a dragon, and then later saved, raised, and created, I guess, by some wizard to fight in the gladiator arena. Then there's Rerun, an arctic dwarf of the Great Glacier, and it seems to come off a bit of a tactician for these dragon hunters. Pavel is a Damaran Lathanderite cleric, and Will is a wisecracking comic relief halfling who, as per the comic relief, is constantly making fun of Pavel, and they constantly sort of jibe at each other. Pavel, you're a charlatan, you don't know what you're doing, you're a blundering fool. Will, you never contribute anything to this group, what do you do here for, blah, blah, blah. It's actually quite entertaining to see the camaraderie and the humor that comes out between those two characters. So you have these incredibly interesting core group of characters. Then you add Kara, and Kara, it turns out, is a song dragon. And so she's sort of the dragon connection for this group of dragon hunters, which is a bit of a tense moment at first, that does get pushed aside a bit easily for most of the main characters. Dorne has a harder time with it, but even he, once he throws it aside really fast. But so they join up with Kara, a song dragon, a bard. And then later on, they're joined by Tegan, who is an Avarial, which is a winged elf, basically. And he's a bit of a swordsman and a rake, and starts off as this city-dwelling winged elf who's a bit of an oddity, who trains people. He's a teacher of swordsmith and fencing and that kind of stuff. Very superficial, very shallow sort of character, although he gets sort of thrown into this situation, thrown into this conspiracy because of some people that he knows. And then later on, the final character to add the bunch is a fairy dragon illusionist named Jivix. And so this sort of rounds out our bunch. And Jivix tends to always be around with Tegan because first of all, they meet at first, and then you have the winged thing where they both can fly, and so they're always running off together. And they make a fun little pair. Later on, you also add a character called Brimstone, who is a vampire evil dragon who also just basically joins up with the group because he hates with a passion Samaster. So those are the characters. All in all, story was very, very, very good. I really enjoyed this story by the time I was done with it. At first, I had a real hard time getting into this story. I had to read half of the first book before I even cared about the characters and who the characters were. I really had to force myself to trudge through that first half of that first book. And even then, I started to care more about the characters, and I still didn't really care much about the story. It seemed a little cliche. It seemed a little bit typical fantasy. Oh, look, the dragons are going nuts again and tearing everybody up, and ooh, like we haven't seen that in Dragonlance and 1,000 other fantasy novels. But it did pick up a real uniqueness about halfway through the second book. So halfway through the first book, I started caring about the characters. Halfway through the second book, or halfway through the whole series, I started caring about the story. So the last book, and the last half of the second book, I was completely into the story, and completely into these characters and this book and what was going on. They take a lot of little side trips. They seem to really want to... It almost seems like the author wants to show us what all is out there in the realms, and show us all these exotic locales and all these fancy little places that you can see in the Forgotten Realms, and I don't know, sometimes it works and sometimes it just seems a little distracting. On one hand, the story takes place over the course of a year. On the other hand, the story seems very, very rushed in a lot of places. Like, all these exotic locales would have made sense to me over the course of more books, I guess. But I don't honestly know that the story and the characters are compelling enough to justify 6 books. So I don't know. It's a real tricky sort of book. It does give some interesting insight as to what happens in the Year of Rogue Dragons that if you're a gamer in the Forgotten Realms and want to incorporate these novels into your game, you get a good idea of what a Rage of Dragons is like and what happens to bring it to an end, and it lasts a whole year and all that kind of stuff. So all in all, I guess the first book I wouldn't say by itself is worth the cover price. Put together with all the other books, it becomes worth the cover price. I think the 3 books combined are worth what you pay for them, but I also like reading Forgotten Realms novels. They're not, I mean, this isn't Tolkien, this isn't crazy epic fantasy that's going to change your life. It's not even the best Forgotten Realms trilogies out there, but it's okay. It's, you know, the Forgotten Realms tends to have one major year event that goes along with every given year in Forgotten Realms history. Especially lately, you started with the Year of Wild Magic, with the return of Shade and all that kind of stuff, and then the next one, and some crazy stuff going on with elves and all that kind of stuff, and now this one with the dragons. And so you have these major events going on and these novels sort of explaining the big events each year, and sort of explains why the years are named the way they're named, which is cool. But as far as those kinds of novels go, this one I'd say was okay. It was mediocre. The characters seemed a little contrived almost at times or forced. Like, what kind of other crazy characters can we come up with to throw into this bunch? I mean, you've got Pavel, the human cleric, and you've got Will, the stereotypical halfling rogue or thief or whatever. But then everything else is like, I'm a half golem, I'm a winged elf, I'm a fairy dragon. It's like, wow, if this was a campaign, these guys really loved Savage Species, so they could just play anything, you know? They get a little nutty with the crazy races and that kind of stuff. But by the end, it works. By the end, I actually really enjoy the characters and the story. It took a little more to get into it. The last thing I'd say is, what I would really like to see out of Wizards of the Coast and the people over at Forgotten Realms for this kind of stuff, I like to use the novels and the history and what's been going on in the books in my game. I don't let the history and the books and the novels and that kind of stuff dictate my world. I play a lot in the Forgotten Realms, but I don't let the novels dictate what I have to do or what's going on and when I run my games. But I do like to know what's going on, and I like to use it when it's appropriate. I was thinking it would be really cool if once a year, Wizards of the Coast would put out just a little compendium, a little small little book, maybe even just make it a small soft cover, make it only 10, 15 bucks, fairly cheap little thing, but just say, hey, these are the big events of the year. Give people a timeline. Say, this is what's been going on. This is what you can expect if you go to Silvery Moon in the Year of Rogue Dragons or in the Year of Wild Magic. These are the kinds of events you might run into. I think that would be incredibly interesting, and I would know every single year I would pick that up. That was my last thought on that, though. So, that's my review of the Year of Rogue Dragons. If you enjoy Forgotten Realms novels, big yearly events in the Forgotten Realms, run out and grab them. They're worth the read. But I wouldn't rush to get to them, not like I do other novels. Not like I'm going to be doing very soon with the new Salvatore novel. Maybe I'll tell you about that one when I get done with it, too. So, if you've read the books and you want to get in contact with me and let me know how I'm horribly wrong or how you agree, please do so. If you want to participate in any upcoming shows, I've got Fiendish Codex 2 in the works. I've got the Next Dragon Magazine in the works. Dragons of Faerun is on my list. Dragon Marked from Eberron is on my list. I'm also looking at the Driz graphic novels, Legend of Driz. So if you want to give me some information about those, I've got that one coming up as a special little episode, sort of like this one. You can, of course, email me at thetomeshow@gmail.com. You can also visit the website at http://thetome.podbean.com. Leave me a comment there. Shoot me an email. Or, of course, you can also instant message me. On most instant messengers, I am The Tome Show, all one word, or in a few cases, thetomeshow@gmail.com. And lastly, I wanted to give a shout out to my buddies over at Gamers Haven. I've mentioned them a few times. I've really been enjoying that show. I'm going to play a little promo of them here.
Hey, what's with all the monkeys at the typewriters?
They're writing stuff for our podcast.
I thought they were supposed to be writing Shakespeare.
Common misconception.
So, what's the podcast called again?
Gamers Haven.
Thousand Monkey Productions presents Gamers Haven.
Whatever.
So, why don't we tell these people what it's about?
People? I only see monkeys. Ow.
No, he's talking about the people out there.
Oh. Still don't see any people.
They're the listeners.
Is that anything like the Watchers?
No. Just tell them what the podcast is about.
Oh, we have a podcast?
Oh, brother.
What?
The podcast the monkeys are working on.
I thought they were writing Shakespeare.
Just tell the listeners that the podcast is Gamers Haven, a podcast about games and advice on how to run them.
If they were listening, I wouldn't have to repeat myself.
Well, that made no sense.
Huh? I wasn't listening. Ow.
We do topical shows to help game masters out there.
Is that like a topical cream? I've got this horrible rash.
Just run the stock clip.
Visit us on the web at CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com.
But check him out. I even recently made an appearance over there with a little tome cameo. So check that out. That happened in one of their fantasy episodes. I believe it was part one of their fantasy thing. They're looking at different genres over there. So check that out. And thanks once again. This has been episode 9, Year of Rogue Dragons of
The Tome.